I don't know if you recognize that video. I've been playing it the last several months during the offering time or communion time, hoping that you will get an opportunity to see it all the way through and maybe be familiar with it before I showed it this morning. But that is an example, although they never lift up the church directly. That is a prime example of how Christians should treat ourselves and each and other people. Amen. And as I was reading the scripture and thinking about it this morning, and I knew I had this video, I got to thinking that some of you, although pastors, I mean, it's like preaching 101, you know that you should never be the illustration. You understand what I'm saying? But this is maybe a little bit different. Some of you know my background, and some of you don't, obviously, and but I just thought it would help us connect this morning in the point that I understand God would like lifted up from this scripture. And what I want to tell you is just simply that I grew up in a small town in northwest Missouri. Mom and Dad both taught high school. Well, Dad taught high school science. Mom taught middle school science and English. We farmed part-time. At whenever I was really young, we had livestock, and that had to go at some point, and we primarily hayed. So most of you, or many of you, probably know what that life is like. In the summers, when they weren't earning a school income, yes, in that day and age, teachers got paid 9 months out of the year. And so we, Mom and Dad, managed the swimming pool. And that was why I'm such a good-looking, tan individual. It's because I spent so much time there. But anyway, so we went to church almost every Sunday. Dad taught high school Sunday school class, and it was my goal, my benchmark, to one day get to his class and be able to sit in his class. We were a church of probably 80, on a good day, 85 worshipers. And one thing that I always remembered, you know, as a kid, how... and some of you are probably saying amen about right now, Eric. But the pastor, I really love the man, especially now. But he was the guy who wore the black suit and the black shiny shoes every Sunday with the bow tie that was really thin. Can you picture that in your mind? And that was what he wore every Sunday. And those of us... Oh, before I get to that story... there were three families that all had kids about the same age, and we would sit in that far back corner back there. Probably many of you who have had kids through the years understand that. And in my church, it was one of those fan-shaped sanctuaries where the altar area is low and then it raises high to get to the back. That's exaggerated, but you know, so it's higher up there. And so they would sit back in a back corner there because of crying kids, of which I never had that issue. But anyway, there was, like I said, about 10 kids back there between the three families, and it was quite an experience for the pastor, I'm sure. But we would be sitting there, and I mean, this, you have to understand, this guy was there much of my growing up years. And about halfway through his sermon, every Sunday, it never failed. He would turn around and reach in his back pocket and pull out his hanky and blow his nose. And fold it up neatly and stick it back in his pocket. And I remember even at 6 years old going, man, I hope that was the first time he used that. Right? But it was like clockwork. We knew exactly when the midway part of his sermon was because of him turning around, blowing his nose, and continuing after that. And all of us kids used to laugh about it, and I feel bad now. But that was the reality of the situation. And henceforth, unless I have something really wrong with me, you will never see me blow my nose during this worship service. But anyway, so that was kind of my life. When we weren't in church, there were times that we would have family worship in our living room. Christmas Eve was always one of my favorite gatherings, and I pulled some of my experiences from there into our Christmas Eve services here, and we try to produce that peaceful, everything is right with the world type feeling, even though really the message is far from that, isn't it, on Christmas Eve. But as far as a family life, my prayer is that each of you can experience a Christmas Eve in your life and just have everything right with the world. And of course, then we'd have a little fellowship after, and Santa Claus would come, and that was always a highlight for me as well as I grew up. But you know, I am very sure that our life apart from the church was strongly influenced by the church. But we wouldn't, well, I should say we would do our Sunday morning thing and then have the rest of our life. You understand what I'm saying? So we would go and we would do our Sunday morning thing, and in a little kid's mind, we left that place and we had the rest of our life. We, you know, we worked on the farm, we worked at the pool, mom and dad worked at school or took classes, I had my mowing job, we did sports, right? So here we were. We were more or less every Sunday attenders, active in our church. But we had the rest of our life once that Sunday worship service was over. And, you know, when I went to college, I slipped away from the church. Maybe many of you did when you were that age. Not in belief. I still believed what I believed, but in habit. You understand what I'm saying? Music actually kept me involved in the church. I was involved at the university with music, and those professors would ask me to come and sing in the choir with them or sing a special, and so that helped me and helped me keep connected to them. But my life outside of church, now I'm using specific language here, so just let hear that, and I'll explain later. My life outside of church didn't resemble what I knew God wanted for my life. Everybody understand what I'm saying this morning? Don't get me wrong, I wasn't this wild rebel. I would even read scripture some, and I would pray often. Typically, I fell asleep with a prayer, which may say something about the depth of my spiritual life. The fact is that God had given me all this potential for His kingdom. Are you following me today? This potential to do good, and I was wasting it. Does it sound familiar to anyone? Is it maybe parallel to your life at one point, or maybe even now? Is Sunday a time when you come to worship? And as we all know, to many of our friends, that's not the case. But is Sunday the time when you come, you study in Sunday school, and then you go on with the rest of your life? You see, to many people, as it was with my life, church is a place. It's a building. It's bricks and mortar. It's a destination. We go to church, right? The problem with thinking we go to church is that it gives us a consumer mindset. Have you ever thought about that? I'm looking for a church that meets my needs. We've all said that probably at some point, haven't we? I need a good church that will help, right? Me or my family, right? Now, if you think about it, this allows us to walk away from it like we do McDonald's or Walmart or a good buffet restaurant, right? I mean, think about it. Let's say we walk into a buffet restaurant and we go, "Ooh, how long's that been there? Oh yeah, that looks good. I'll take some of that, and I'll take some of that, and I'll take some of that." And we sit down and we get our fill, don't we? And then we walk out, and quite honestly, unless we have heartburn, we probably wouldn't think about where we ate the rest of the day or the week, would we? And see, that consumer mindset allows us to be that way. We come to church to get our fill, to pick something off the buffet table that the church offers for us, and once we are satisfied, we leave and we don't think about it again. But here's the thing. The church is actually God's chosen vehicle. Now wait, Just pause there. Don't read on. Think about that for a minute. The church is God's chosen vehicle. The church is actually God's chosen vehicle to meet through other human beings people's true needs, including our own. Are you following me so far? The church is actually God's chosen vehicle to meet through other human beings people's true needs, including our own. Now, in our scripture for today, Jesus says, and this is in my words, it's not a direct quote, but it's in Matthew, first, love God. Second, love other people as much as you love yourself. And when you do these two things, you will fulfill every other law, right? So, first, love God. Second, love other people as much as you love yourself. When you do these things, you will fulfill every other law. You see, the church allows for both of those things to take place, doesn't it? The church allows to give ourselves to God, and it also allows us to give ourselves to others. Amen? Pastor and author Irwin McManus said, "The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world." I want that to sink in a little bit. Let's read that together. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. He almost pulled an Apostle Paul moment here. It's like, well, hello, duh. Of course the church doesn't exist for us. We are the church. Right? We're here for the world. We're here to bring people to Christ, to glorify God. Each person who has given their life to Christ is so important to the church because by its very nature, right, the church is us, you and me, me and you. Is there any other way to say that that'd make it more personal? Sharon, you are the church. And we've missed you guys. Glad you're home safe. So each person who has given their life to Christ is so important to the church because by its very nature, the church is you. Are you following me today? You understanding what I'm talking about so far? Okay, I'm just trying to take you one step at a time here. So even if in the past you've been involved in a church and didn't like it, whether because you felt hurt or disillusioned or maybe disappointed, you know, something on the buffet table wasn't the way it was supposed to be in that particular church, if you were disappointed or disillusioned or felt hurt, then be the change you want to see. Because you are the church. So we're either going to be complainers or people that work to try to fix it, right? I mean, there's only really two choices there, isn't there? Complainers or people who work to try to fix things. Then be the change you want to see. Even though the church is far from perfect, think how much better it would be if you would give your life to it. And everyone who gives their life for this church already would so much appreciate it if you would. I'm not being smart. That's an honest statement, right? So even though the church is far from perfect, think how much better it would be if you would give your life to it. You see, God is not calling us just to go to church. God is calling us to be His church, the hope of the world. All right? Let's read that together. God is not calling us just to go to church. God is calling us to be His church, the hope of the world. A pastor and author, Craig Groeschel, calls Christians who commit only half-heartedly to Christ's church Christian atheists. Christian atheists. And he calls himself, as he grew up, a Christian atheist. Went to church, couldn't wait for it to get over, went out and did his life. Right? I called myself, the way I describe my life, more or less a Christian atheist. Many of us in this room are Christian atheists. We come to church as a duty, not to glorify God. We come to church as a duty. And that's what our life is in the church. We leave. We've had our fill, right? And we go out and we do our thing. He calls people like us Christian atheists, and trying to get his point across that these folks say, yes, I believe in God, but I don't live the life as if I do. Yes, I believe in God, but I don't live a life as if I do. Does that make sense? That's what he calls Christian atheists. Yes, I believe in God, but I don't live my life as if I do. And in Acts 2, the first church is described, and it definitely wasn't something that people added to their lives. Anyone who has read Acts 2, it's the history of the birth of the church and how that came about. And so if you ever want to read up on that, turn to the book of Acts and read about the birth of the church and how it grew and what worked and what didn't work in those first centuries. But the church, the first church is described, and it definitely wasn't something that people added to their lives. Church was the center of their lives. Church was not a physical building. It was the community of people. Amen. Church was the community of people who shared a belief and faith in Christ. Listen to Acts 2:42. I invite you to write these things down and read. I'm not going to give you time to read them at this point, but take these home. Open up your Bible and just find out some things here. Listen to Acts 2, verse 42. This is what the church people did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Folks, they didn't go to church, did they? They didn't go to church, did they? No is the correct answer, just in case you were wondering. No, they were the church. They were the church. You can't go because you are the church. Wherever you go, you are the church. The friends that you have should see you as a part of the church. These folks were the church, devoted to God's Word, God's people, and God's mission. And it goes on to say in verse 43, now listen to this. So, I'm going to go back and reread verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And verse 43 says this, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, miraculous signs were done by the apostles. I wonder if the devotion and the fellowship comes first, or if the miraculous healing does. Or is that a chicken and egg question? Do we need to be devoted before we can see miraculous healings? Scripture says that that might be the case because they devoted themselves to teachings and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. And then everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. In 1 Corinthians 12, if that were the case, 1 Corinthians 12 could become a reality where Paul describes the church as a body made up of different parts. So he goes from Acts to 1 Corinthians, where the church becomes a body. It is a body where there's different parts. And imagine, just for a moment, imagine if you gave your life to Christ through First Church and became so filled with God that everyone noticed a difference. What would that be like? Imagine, just imagine with me, please stay with me right here. Imagine if the church was so involved with the people of Warsaw that everyone took notice and gave God praise. What would that be like? Imagine if our church visited the folks right next door within a stone's throw in the Benton County Prison so regularly that countless inmates became believers and turned from their crime and their drug abuse. Imagine that. Now wait, I'm not going to stop us there. I want to take this on. Think how that would change their families. And if that changed their families, think how that would change our school district. And if that changed our school district, think how that would change our district, our county, our community of Warsaw and the communities around Warsaw. Do you realize some people don't want to move to Warsaw School District because of the meth problem? Do you realize that? I mean, probably every school has a meth problem, but ours is kind of highlighted for some reason, right? Man, this church right here could make a difference, people. Because we don't go to church, do we? Why don't we go to church? Because we are the church. That's exactly right. Imagine if our church visited the folks over there and it changed their families and it changed the school district and it changed our county and our community, and then other great and awesome people wanted to move into this community. And what would that do to... See, it's just a snowballing effect, isn't it? Can I get an amen? Oh man, that is so awesome to think about. Just imagine for a moment. And all that happens because the people of this church body chose to stop just going to church and begin being the church. Amen? You see, God is not calling us just to go to church. God is calling us to be His church, the hope of the world. Let's read it. Read it like we mean it, all right? Even if it's just for me, all right? That makes me feel so much better. God is not calling us just to go to church. God is calling us to be His church, the hope of the world. Again, the church, by its very nature, is a place to belong as well. Although most of us would claim our independence, God, quite honestly, didn't create us to be independent, but to be dependent on one another. And that's where the church body comes in as well. Romans 12:5 tells us, so in Christ, we who are many form what? One body. That's exactly right. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now I want you to look to your right and to your left, beyond your spouse or your child, and realize in your mind, I belong to you. Think about that. I belong to you. Yeah. Right? As believers in Christ, we are incomplete without the rest of His body, the church. And the church is incomplete without us. We need others, and others need us. And Hebrews 18 tells us that we are responsible to both hold each other accountable and to encourage one another. Now, that may be scary to some of you, but you know what? Whenever people hold me accountable in love, yeah, that first, Terry, you know, that first reaction may be, ah! But after I think about it, right? This has happened to me once. One of our great friends, we were all staff at Liberty, and we did a lot of running around together, and they were good friends, and I don't even remember what it was that I did or comment that I made or whatever, and one of the other staff said, you know, Eric, I don't really know that was appropriate for you to do that. I don't like my pastor doing that. It wasn't anything bad. Right? But whatever it was, obviously it wasn't bad or I'd remember it. But you know what I mean? Whatever it was, right? He said, for some reason that just didn't work for me. I don't like you doing that or saying that or whatever it was. And you know, at first I was like, well, who do you think? You know what? I thought about it and I prayed about it and I went back and I thanked him for being honest enough to say something to me. See, when it's said in love, it is said only to improve, only to try to give you information so that you can do better. Amen? We are told in Scripture that we are supposed to hold one another accountable in love. We are responsible, but also we are responsible for encouraging one another. The church is also a place to believe so that you can grow spiritually. In Romans 10, 17, Paul says that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Obviously, if you don't come to worship, you can't hear the message, can you? And if you don't hear the message, if you don't hear the word of Christ, your faith is weak. Amen? Our faith grows as we hear God's word taught and proclaimed. Living out what we've heard solidifies it for us. Remember what James 1:22 tells us? Some of you probably can just say this before I even say it. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Folks, God is not calling us just to go to church. God is calling us to what? Be His church. The hope of the world. God's church continues to grow and the whole around the whole world because its people instinctively understand that the church exists not for them, but for those who do not yet know Christ. Do you remember our scripture for today? I know I've thrown a lot out at you. Do you remember Matthew 22? First, love God. Second, love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. When you do these two things, you will fulfill every law. A church where all of the people that make it up love radically, where all the people that make up the church serve sacrificially, and all the people who are part of a church give extravagantly. That is when God is glorified. Amen. That's when people get changed. Amen. And because those people are changed, that's when their families are changed. Amen. And when their families are changed, our community is changed. Amen. You see, what you might think is just a little non-powerful person in you is huge, because you can make a direct difference on this community by changing one person. Amen? Do you hear how awesome and powerful you are? No? Folks, you are a... And you are... Do you hear how awesome and powerful you are? Folks, we can say yes, not because we're blowing up our heads, but why? The Creator of the entire universe loves you and knows you by name and gave you a gift. And He's saying, use it! Use it to heal people. Use it to expand My kingdom. Let's read this one more time together. God is not calling us just to go to church. God is calling us to be His church, the hope of the world. Let's pray. Holy God, I celebrate You this day. I celebrate this church, which is every person that is in it, Lord. I thank You so much for the amazing gifts and talents that are a part of the church worldwide. And I give You praise for those who step out, maybe some out of their comfort zone, to glorify You, God, and to change this world in Your name's sake. We love You, God. Remind us daily. Give us strength and courage, God, to realize and remember that we do not go to church, Lord, because we are the church. And in Jesus Christ, we are the hope of the world. We love You, God. And all of God's people said, Amen.